Excellent. The weather today, highs of 17 degrees, lows of 12 degrees, so quite reasonable from that perspective, and a generally glorious day. Why? Well, because it's a Lincolnshire Show special day, isn't that right, Amelia Chambers?
Yes, it is.
And did you survive the joys of the Harley-Davidson? Because they were all over the place, weren't they, really?
They were all over the place. It was absolutely fantastic. We were in the thick of it at the showground, and it was phenomenal. And also, even in the Balegate and Lincoln, they just took over everywhere.
I don't think I've ever seen so much beer in the entire sort of universe.
You're not talking about me, are you, Alex?
I did shave
this morning.
Especially for Radio Amelia. I know, always on form there. Chloe Middleton's back with us. Chloe.
I'm well, thank you, Alex.
Good. And we've got, for the first time, a male. An unbelievable, an XY chromosome-carrying individual for the Lincolnshire event showground. That would be the fabulous Chris. Chris, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Graduate of the University of Lincoln?
Indeed, yes.
Of which course?
Advertising and marketing.
There we are, you see. So from the business school to God's ears, or something like that. Jessica's already here and has sorted it in all sorts of ways. And we've got, as we have heard, Sue Royce. Sue, Dan Hadfield joining us around about 8:30. That's sort of slap bang in the middle of the excitement of Richard Fitzwilliams and Ian Lennox. So why the excitement over the weekend where he made national newspapers and all sorts of other exciting things?
Well, for all the Barlowettes and all the Thatters out there, there was a very exciting event happened on Friday night, not just for the bride. Gary's been doing some secret weddings. And number three was on Friday night, and he gatecrashed one of Dan's gigs to do it, which is very exciting, particularly because Dan is one of our gang.
Well,
used to be here 3.5 years ago, so it's quite exciting for one of our own
quite
to be.
I'm pleased you actually sort of
by Barlow.
Thatters there, as in take thatters, because from that I thought you were saying something completely offensive, but no. Apparently, it's okay. It's just.
No, it's a generic term for take that as. Yeah.
Clears, clearly. Oh, I can see the future come to you, cry away the sadness in your eyes. And I can find a faith in I've wasted, been around enough to feel alive. And when the world is broken, hard and cold. For inspirational quotes, the line "Do something today that your future self will thank you for" is something that certainly springs to mind. And if we're talking about happiness and the joy that happiness can actually bring by taking that leap and doing it anywhere, the originator of that quote is indeed the legend that is Dr. Robert Holden. Good morning, Robert. How
are
you?
Good morning, Alex. Hello, Alex. Doing well, thank you.
Excellent. I would expect nothing less, Robert. Fantastic stuff. And also joining us today, we have from the fabulous company Zero, the marvellous Gary Turner. How are you, Gary?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
Director of Zero. Just explain for us briefly, Gary, what exactly Zero actually does, because it's quite a major company.
So all small businesses have to do things like invoicing and billing and managing their accounts and filing VAT and all those very kind of tedious aspects of running a business, and our software is designed to make that less tedious and more enjoyable. And so it's accounting software for very small businesses.
And that brings us neatly round, of course, to the main theme of this little chat, which takes us back to Robert once again. This whole notion of a recent survey which suggested that actually having the confidence to set up your own business, having that vision, etc., can actually lead to a better home life, a general happiness quotient that increases substantially, and, of course, being less stressed at work, which can only be a good thing, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing it more and more as well, aren't we, Alex? People taking that plunge to do something that maybe gives them more of a sense of purpose, which helps them to make a contribution, I think, to life and to the world of work. So we're seeing it more and more. It's a courageous step, definitely. A lot of people talk themselves out of it. In fact, many people will have been talking themselves out of it for a while before they take the plunge into entrepreneurship. But I think with the courage and also then the know-how, for instance, using software that Zero produced, that type of thing, then I think you stand as good a chance now as ever, actually, to be a successful and happy entrepreneur.
And is that really at the heart of the whole thing? That, in essence, saying I can't is the biggest obstacle that we put in our own minds before we can actually say, well, I can and I will?
First and foremost, I think you have to have that vision. You have to have that itch inside that says, I really want to do this. Once you've got that, and once that doesn't go away, you know, it stays with you, then after that, your main obstacle, I would suggest, probably is fear. And if you can tackle those fears and find out which ones of them are justified and which ones of them are just fears, because a lot of fears are only fear, and when you face them, they go away, then you're in with a chance. I would also say that as an entrepreneur, even though you're setting up the business perhaps by yourself and you're working for yourself, you won't be doing it by yourself. You will need support and help along the way. In fact, every next level of success will require another level of partnership somewhere along the line.
Indeed, you can almost see fear as an acronym for false expectations appearing real.
Absolutely.
If we're looking at the five steps to actually coordinating this, you've rightly identified the number one, which is having the vision. But I see also good relationships, freedom and flexibility, growth and investment, and of course creativity very much part of the package as well.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, this is your chance to express yourself. This is a chance for you to put the corporate cutout away, you know, and to not be what you think people need you to be or what you feel you have to be. This is your chance to be you, to express yourself, to play to your strengths, to be true to yourself. And you know, I think we love to be around people like that. And that's what often why entrepreneurs do so well, because you feel you're working with someone who's a genuine person, if you like, and they're being themselves. And that's fun to be around.
Gary, if we can turn to your good self, obviously as managing director of Xero, with an X, of course, not a Z, is it important that you kind of resonate with the sort of things Robert's been talking about? I mean, do you feel as though, yes, these are the sort of positive things? Or would you consider actually sort of stepping out yourself and becoming another entrepreneur and leaving Xero completely? You don't have to answer that question, obviously.
It is hard work being an entrepreneur. There's no bones about that. It's not for everybody. But certainly my experience and meeting with lots of business owners and entrepreneurs as part of my job at Xero, I have yet to meet one that's unhappy. I think that entrepreneurs tend to be more fulfilled. They feel like they're people in control of their destiny. And there's been a huge growth in the number of new startups and entrepreneurs coming to start their own thing up in the last 10 or 15 years. And I think that's a really interesting trend in the economy as a whole.
Certainly, as you mentioned at the start, one of the things that Xero can provide for budding entrepreneurs and indeed organisations in general is the way to facilitate things. Is technology making it simpler, easier, or is it more challenging? Because sometimes within the world of education, one gets students saying, this is far more challenging than it used to be. Indeed, for colleagues as well.
I think technology has changed tremendously in the last 10 years. I mean, not just because as a new business you can set up your own website and appear to lots of people much more readily than the old way of setting up a business. But we're all now driving around. Most web use now is on a mobile device. You can have some fantastic tools that are much more intuitive than PC software would have been 10 or 15 years ago. And so whilst it's important to get the right products and the right tools to help you run your business, you can't lose sight of running your business on a day-to-day basis. You need technology there. And actually, we see businesses that have the right amount of technology, whether that's a mobile app or something that does their billing or managing their cash flow, will be more successful, will survive more than businesses that don't.
That's clearly why Forbes rated Xero as the world's most innovative growth company in both 2014 and 2015. So obviously 2016 just around the corner. Robert, if we could just briefly return to your good self. I mean, quite apart from, say, the inspirational quotes, which come from, indeed, the text Happiness Now! Exclamation mark. Indeed, are accessed via your own website, robertholden.org. In terms of the technological sort of aspects, I mean, clearly you also work with the Happiness Project. I can't believe it's 20 years since that was set up. Time is just an illusion, Robert. That's all we have to say. But in terms of that whole concept, is it the balance between the human being and the technology that ultimately can lead to happiness?
Well said. Yeah, I think it is. I mean, you know, the technology without the human doesn't really get you anywhere, I don't think. But, you know, in this age, we need that technology. It's a fantastic thing. I think there's two stages to the technology. In the beginning, there was the technology that only technologists understood. Now we're in this whole new generation with technology where we can all understand it a bit better. And so it's just more user-friendly, really. And I think that's what's good about Xero, for instance. I mean, my school, for instance, where my children go to, they use Xero. It's very effective. It's very friendly. People can do it and helps us to be happier. And I would just say a final note from me. I think one of the reasons we look at happiness so much is because, you know, in the past, we were maybe raised to believe that if we're successful, we'll be happy. And I think that's true in some cases. But what's more true, I would say, is that when we're happy and when we're doing things that make us happy, that actually increases our chances of success.
Indeed. And I have to say that quite apart from happiness now, exclamation mark, I've always been amused by the text shift happens. That shift happens with an apostrophe. It's an exclamation. Truly wonderful. Robert and Gary, fabulous. Just touching base with your good self today. Final questions for both of you. Have you had a reasonably interesting and, let's face it, happy telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
Alex, fabulous. Your research, by the way, was very good.
Well, thank you, sir. And can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the not too distant future?
Yes, please.
Always nice to actually have our research package complimented, isn't it? Richard Fitzwilliam's ace cinematic and royal correspondent.
Oh, it most certainly is, yes.
Are you happy, Richard?
Very. I'm off to Madrid tomorrow.
Ooh, there we are. Well, I'm happy because I'm looking at the 131st Lincolnshire Show handbook,
well,
which looks as though
it's... more exciting, good gracious me. I didn't know that, I have to say. My fault.
Well, you know, when you've got this, plus, of course, Amelia Chambers, Chloe Middleton and Chris Usher in the studio, together with Sue Royce, Bridget Royce and Jessica Ward, you know, what recipe for happiness can actually sort of not have those ingredients to the fore?
The recipe for happiness is to watch the Queen open Parliament in a show of thrilling spectacle.
So was it. I mean, let's just do a quick straw poll in the studio. Chloe, did you watch the state opening of Parliament yesterday? Or was it a case of, no, I'm far too busy planning for the 131st Lincolnshire Showground. Are you insane?
That's exactly what I was doing.
Exactly. Amelia, I suspect.
Same
yeah,
again.
Yes, and Chris, yes.
Very much the same.
And Sue?
I did.
Yes.
And I found it very, very interesting that afterwards the Speaker of the House of Commons pulled the SNP MPs up for clapping, which I never knew you could, in theory, not do. It was not the done thing to clap in the Commons.
Yeah. Yes, Alex Salmond was explaining on Adam Bolton's show on Sky that clapping happens at the United Nations or in the Scottish Parliament and so forth, but it isn't, you know, you can go, hear, hear, or you can wave your order paper. But
possibly, or hi the new?
In Westminster, you may not clap.
No, exactly. You know, it's keep the clap to one side. You know, it's a different line in time from that perspective.
Because I mean, as a show and spectacle, it goes back hundreds of years, and it's actually altered only a relatively small amount in the last three or four centuries. I mean, the new House of New Westminster Parliament, I was burnt down in the Victorian era, that was more or less shaped to accommodate a spectacle like this. The Queen has done it 61 times now, and there's no question, it is an extraordinary show because it's full of vignettes. It's a sort of microcosm of our history. I mean, for example, the Yeoman of the Guards searching the cellars for gunpowder. You could say, good gracious me, what on earth are they still doing that for? Well, of course, linking back to Guy Fawkes' plot, but also the Yeoman of the Guard were founded by Henry VII after the Battle of Bosworth, where Richard III was, of course, defeated and killed. And his body, recently having been followed, followed his reinterment. It does sort of link to different
parts. Every time Chloe Middleton comes up, it's always the Richard III thing that comes up, isn't it? I mean, we will not let it lie, just because she's with Leicester as well. I mean, you know.
Let it lie. I mean, this was the question. He was found.
It's very true. Let's move from Richard III to cross-dressing. Did I really say that? Still, it's a way forward. François Ozon's latest film, A New Girlfriend, is something.
Well, I simply said, yeah, New Girlfriend. When I mentioned François Ozon, I'm talking about a director who he has this wonderful air of mystery in his films. I mean, A Swimming Pool had a plot that completely fooled me, Charlotte Rampling, Charles Dancing, and Ludovine Senye. I have to say that it was one of these movies which you were drawn into, and then of course you did discover that certain scenes that you were watching might or might not be real. And then In the House was an absolutely hilarious movie with Christian Scott Thomas, and now we have The New Girlfriend, and here we have Claire, played by Anais de Moustier, a very, very fine performance here, is absolutely devastated when she discovers, firstly, she loses her friend Laura. Now, this is a film that's part of the message is how you come to terms with loss. In the case of Laura, she leaves a newborn daughter who's being looked after by David, who's played by Romain Duris. Now, what particularly surprises Claire is how David is actually coming to terms with losing his wife, raising his child, and, so to speak, discovering a new identity for himself. I think that we must be careful about going into this plot too far, but it's based on a Ruth Rendell short story. And how do you, as it were, discover new things about yourself by meeting someone else who has changed in some ways and who then starts...
Well, let's face it,
In what way does this movie give a new light or shed a new light on the human condition?
Exactly.
Very mischievously, often quite touchingly, very funny in parts, and my goodness, it'll surprise you.
Well, and indeed will continue to do so. Bruce Jenner, I believe, has been invited to the premiere. So it just goes to show, really. But still, Chris, it's possible a way of actually exploring sort of all sorts of identities, really. But I'm not going to go there, and I suspect you may not either. But whatever. A devilishly delicious comedy. Does that appeal?
Well, it is, yes. It's a comedy, but also it's a comedy with a good deal of heart. And I would call it a comedy drama because, yes, parts of it are very funny, but there's a great deal more to it when you actually examine what makes somebody really attractive to someone else, and sometimes even without them realizing what's going on, how are they themselves altering, and what about their personal relationship? It has to be said that Claire, whose friendship, shall we say, with David draws ever closer, has Gilles, a supportive husband at home, who loves her dearly, has a ordinary job, broadly conservative guy. How does he respond to whatever's going on?
Okay, let's just do a quick straw poll. Jessica, A New Girlfriend, is it something you're likely to say, yes, we're going to get that to the Isle of Man and actually open up a whole new world?
Maybe.
I'm
open to it.
Sue Royce?
I'm interested why they're calling this a comedy, so yeah, I'd go and watch it. Yeah.
Chris?
Not for me, I don't
know. No, so, okay. Amelia?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm intrigued. I'm looking at the trailer now.
The trailer looks really interesting.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm trying to work it out. It looks great.
he simply throws out ideas about what it may or may not be about, but I say there's a lot of depth in this movie. Also, it's not any mysterious. It's very mischievous.
And Chloe Middleton, would you go and check it out?
I'll be going with Amelia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Marvellous.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got aspects of the Birdman, we've got Kristen Stewart, we've got the clouds that are sort of passing over in a meteorological condition, we've got a range of other bits and pieces. Your next choice of movie is, Richard?
If you can possibly find it in a cinema, I mean, that might be difficult, but it is most certainly worth getting a video of a movie called Clouds of Sils Maria. It's been very highly praised in France, winning a Caesar, and I have to say that Juliette Binoche and Kristen Stewart also reasons to see it. Well, this is when a veteran actress of stage and screen, Mira Enders, played by Binoche, travels with her loyal American assistant, Valentine, played by Kristen Stewart, to receive an award on behalf of a reclusive playwright. and she owes her fame to having been cast 20 years earlier in a play and a film version of one of his plays. It's about a callous young girl who has a destructive relationship with a vulnerable older woman.
Sounds like All About Eve to me, Richard.
It's not actually, but it's certainly... All About Eve is always a wondrous take on the Joseph L. Mankiewicz on really top form there, yes. But a very different movie, this, and it's the way this is handled when Maria is approached by a director and persuaded to appear again on stage in the role, this time, of the older woman. She'd previously played the younger woman 20 years previously. Now, what is so fascinating about this, it's an insight into the creative process, but in her read-throughs, her relationship with her assistant is increasingly put under the microscope. Also, the playwright she's going to visit after accepting an award on his behalf suddenly dies. And also there's the part, as she's about to reprise a role in the same play, who will play the younger woman, how will they respond to each other. And it's about art, its links with real life, it's about the aging process, it's about coming to terms with time. It's a fascinating performance by...
And Kristen Stewart shines in her best role to date.
She, what I have written down here, a revelation. She is absolutely marvellous. And also, you're wondering about the real nature of the relationship between the two of them and what is hinted at here. It is very beautifully done. It's very clever. But one of the reasons for this isn't just the fabulous photography. Clouds of Sils Maria are symbolic. What is also interesting is, and hits home so well, is if you have a first-class script, you have director Olivier Assayas really examining these characters, making them come alive, and it's a wonderful film. I was fascinated because, again, there are mysteries here, and there's about a woman finding herself in later life, and also the music is so beautifully chosen. I absolutely loved this film, so, as I say, you will have a problem in discovering it at your local cinema, where it almost certainly won't be, but a DVD is something that will be a treasured experience.
And the line of Maria turning down a role in the new X-Men film because she's sick of hanging from wires and working in front of green screens. We do it all the time at Siren 107.3 FM. Still, lots of little takes on the state of the music of the film industry, I should say. Sue Royce, does Clouds of Sils Maria float your boat?
I think it probably does, yes. I mean, it's got some really good actresses that are known for picking really good scripts. Mm-hmm. So I think it looks like the sort of thing I'd go and watch, yeah.
Okay, Jessica?
It looks complex and quite emotive.
Complex and emotive.
I think I might watch it with my mum, maybe on the weekend.
One for Bronwyn, then.
Yeah.
forward. Chloe?
I think it looked really, really good.
Amelia?
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that'd be... I'll take Chloe again.
Amelia, of course, will shortly be sort of joining the wonderful motherhood organisation in which you will be giving birth.
Yeah,
well, it is. Let's face it, it's a clear, as Bridget will attest to, exactly. So that'll be sorted through in the same way as, obviously, we're delighted that Bend It Like Beckham's and indeed the self-same Pirates of the Caribbean soul, who I know.
There's always Pirates of the Caribbean, is there not?
Exactly. Also, the actress also has given birth recently. So
I want to mention another Chloe, and that's Chloe Grace Moretz, who is in the part of the younger woman in the forthcoming play in this movie, and she also gives a very good performance. They've really got top roles for actresses, which is one of the reasons I'm cheering both of these films, because the accent, and it's high time, is about more roles for women. And we've had a lot of publicity given to speeches about that at Cannes, which, of course, the festival has, you know, just ended. And these two movies, well, they're examples. There aren't enough.
Well,
the better.
There we have it, you see. And indeed, Chloe Grace Moretz and Chloe Middleton could be twins separated at birth. somewhere in the backdrop, I believe that you do have a connection with the other Middletons, Chloe.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that.
No, exactly. just a thought.
Very wise.
Richard, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
What is the connection?
Have you had a reasonably interesting link with us on the show today? We'll have to leave that hanging. It's called a narrative trope that we'll pick up later in the year.
Ah, right. Well, I look forward to picking up on it. I had a most interesting conversation. Yes.
And Jessica, the other question is:
Will we hear you in the near future?
Absolutely. Back from Madrid and looking at Danny Collins and Timbuktu next week.
Well, there we are. See, he goes to Madrid, you go to the Isle of Man. It's much of a muchness, really.
Madrid.
I go to Middlesbrough. It's wonderful.
Conversation, you can hear the feeling change, like a river running down, down to the sea. And if you need an explanation, my friend, into the setting sun, and the river's running down.
131st Lincolnshire Show. Experience a true celebration of rural Lincolnshire with an eclectic mix of breathtaking entertainment, food, shopping, music, horticulture and farm life, creating the perfect family day out. Jessica, I know you're gutted that you won't be able to actually come along to the Lincolnshire Show.
I was really looking forward to this.
It's always next year, I suppose.
Yeah.
Emma Tinsel will hopefully be joining us, and Sue Rice, you'll be there for day two with Bridget, of course.
I certainly will, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, the first 15 years of my life, I went religiously.
As an exhibitor.
Yes,
exactly.
I did.
Yes. Yeah, well, it was fantastic stuff. Currently wearing his I Heart Mike Ashley t-shirt, and generally saying, we have the Messiah, he's John Carver t-shirts. It is the one and only Ian Lennox, ace Newcastle United supporter. Obviously, it all worked out okay for your boys in the end, Ian.
Yes, it did. It did. I was very nervous, but we came through. Thanks largely to Johannes Gutierrez.
Well, exactly. Who of course,
may
will
play his last game for Newcastle.
Precisely.
I think should be given a contract on the basis of that game alone. He saved them millions.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, Mike Ashley gave an interview and many people were left with tears of joy and delight, saying he's not going to leave until they win a trophy, which might, of course, simply entail finishing fourth.
Well, he did say he's going to invest money. But actions speak louder than words, so we'll see you in the close season.
Remain to be seen on that score.
Sue, just because your twin sister's up in Newcastle.
I'm at last. You're making us a journalist.
You'll be pleased to know, Ian, that Jessica has said she will guarantee she'll be reading your book.
Yes, I will. I will get it done. And I'll be starting from the start, so that way I go all the way through.
Yes, she'll be starting from the start with, of course, gentlemen and players. Mm-hmm. And then when she's... In fact, we should be linked up by a phone link before sort of the return in September.
So have you not got your exams at the moment?
No, I've finished for the year.
We've all done.
It shows how much I'm behind time.
It's party time now, or in Lincolnshire, start preparing for the harvest.
Absolutely, yes.
The reason for the long summers. You know, you've got to actually work our way through that whole process. Chris, what is it that you're most looking forward to as far as the 131st Lincolnshire Show is concerned?
Wow, what a question. I'm really excited just to see so many people gather together at the show. Particularly, we've got such an exciting main ring timetable. So I'm just really excited to see loads of people gather together to enjoy the good food that we've got on offer. Just have a really great day out in Lincolnshire. Really.
I mean, is it the sort of show which you would think that the wonderful Dan Hatfield would actually sort of appreciate? I mean, you know, were Dan Hatfield to be a celebrity guest, what do you think? Do you think that would be a sort of a
definitely.
Treat?
Definitely. Why not? Yeah, definitely. Treat for everybody, I think.
Sitting
treat for all of us.
He's sitting just behind you now, Chloe.
Wait, I won't say too much.
What joy and excitement.
Yep, definitely a treat.
I just want to sort of outline, Ian, that in the studio today, not only do we have Amelia Chambers, of course, ace marketing executive from the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, we also have ace assistant marketer extraordinaire Chloe Middleton. You've just heard the voice of Chris Usher, Jessica Ward, of course. We have Bridget Royce and Sue Royce, but we also have Dan Hadfield, who's created great excitement because Dan was making all the national newspapers and indeed various sort of scenarios, because Dan Hadfield is the number one Gary Barlow tribute, and actually was at a wedding over the weekend where actually Gary Barlow turned up as well. So it's very exciting.
Very exciting.
Sorry, I realise that some of these links are not always as dynamic as that side of things there, but we just had to roll that message out. You might have a chance to speak with Dan in a few moments. So,
I actually attended some of those sort of shows, the flower shows and stuff, and the Harvest Festival shows, when I was a very young reporter. And I always remember I was earning about £8 a week at the time. And this Miss Great Britain, I think it was, got up and said, she was hired to open the show, and she got up and said, "I declare this show open," and sat down again. And she got about £100 for that. I thought, that's a blooming good job.
I think it's something that actually Amelia could actually look to, because you've already got the regal look to your good self. I think, you know, "I, Amelia Chambers, would like to declare this show open."
Yeah, I think I can do that. And obviously with the baby, then...
You don't even have to say anything about working for world peace and wanting to travel.
But Amelia always says she wants world peace and she likes to travel. It's part and parcel of a whole sort of sequence, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my main ethos. Yep.
Exactly. Amelia, same question to your good self. Ian's up there in Newcastle, you know, cultural desert, you know, he's just got his black and white side to sort of work through. Why should he actually make his way for the 24th and 25th of June to the Lincolnshire Show 2015?
Why not? It's going to be such an exceptional couple of days. We've got so much planned this year. I know that we say every year that it's going to be bigger and better, but it actually is going to be slightly bigger this year. We have record amount of trade stands, so lots of shops for people to browse. We have, as Chris said, a main ring timetable that's packed full of things like the Kangaroo Kid, which is a stunt bike team. We've also got the RAF Falcons, which were fantastic last year, who parachuted in. We have some other surprises that I can't talk about at the moment. We also have the Dog and Duck Show in the countryside in the countryside area, which we're all really excited about, which seems to have quite a big following.
I'll say that again, Ian. A dog and duck show in the main arena.
As it sounds, right. It's fantastic.
Well, we've got that week the Tarnmoor Hoppings, which is the world's, I think it's still the world's biggest travelling fair.
Well, you see, you say that, but I know from somebody who's obviously from Middlesbrough, a mere 36 miles south of Newcastle, that when you actually have the Tarnmoor Hoppings, all people think about, and I'm sure Jessica would agree with me, is it's just people hopping from side to side. That's the whole city actually sort of starts hopping in the Tarnmoor Hoppings. But as you say...
Well, if you feel you should, you'll realise why then. It's a fair. It's all swings and roundabouts and boxing booths and... And it's huge, you know, it's about 2 miles long.
Well, clearly it may be huge, but as yet I don't think even the Newcastle Tarnmoor Hoppings has actually featured Dan Hadfield. Is that right, Dan?
Yes, it is.
Good to see you, sir.
I'm just arriving and putting my backside on the seat.
It's all fine.
How are you doing?
So, very good indeed, and congratulations, Dan, over the weekend. I gather you were a little bit concerned about having to meet up with the Dan Hadfield lookalike that's Gary Barlow.
I thought he looked terrible, to be honest. Well, when he came in, I thought he looked nothing like him. Yeah. Unbelievable. Anyway.
You should have said you looked nothing like me.
Exactly my point. Exactly my point.
Right. I've told him that before.
You know, at the end of the day, if you can't book Gary Barlow, book Dan Hadfield. It'll be changed for before too long. If you can't book Dan Hadfield, book Gary Barlow.
He's a fiver more than me at the moment, but I'm hoping to change that.
Dan, you're going to be with us for the second part of the show, and obviously working our way through that. Ian, any quick questions you want to put to Dan Hadfield? As we said, official Gary lookalike, having appeared with him on The Extra Factor, voted Britain's best lookalike in 2013. Clients include the BBC, ITV, Psycho Entertainment, always a bit dodgy, I think, Cancer Research, Virgin Media, and many more, of course, and just an all-round wonderful person. You can go to GaryBarlowLookalike.com to find out more. But right. Ian, questions for
Dan. What does that job entail? I mean, do you...
go around different shows and things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm booked by quite a lot of private clients as well as corporate and commercial clients.
How did it start? I mean, did you sort of, amongst some mates, start imitating them again? Yeah. Well, you're rather good at that.
Well, I remember exactly when it started. It started in 1992 when a friend of mine said, you need to turn on the television, Dan. There's a new pop band that's come out, and you look like the fat, chubby, white one.
And that was 1992.
And I turned the TV on. And
thank heaven this is radio.
Absolutely, absolutely.
No, I think it's fair to say, as Chloe will attest to, I mean, and Amelia already has, I mean, it's fair to say, Chloe, there's a maturity with age, really, in this sort of things, you know, like fine wines.
Fine wines, yes.
Just because it was the last century doesn't mean it's the end of the universe.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. We've both lost a lot of weight since then.
We'll be finding out more in a whole heap of other goodies from that point of view. But Jessica, would you like to ask Ian Lennox those last two questions for the last time before you actually go off to read his book?
Well, Ian, have you enjoyed our telephonic link today?
Well, now that you're going to read my book, yes.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
I hope so, when you've read the book.
Well,
no, don't feel obliged to read it, Dan.
Oh, she is. You know, she's from New Zealand, so you know,
I'll get it done.
You know, week
promise.
In, week out, she's coming. I haven't read the book. It's all right, Jessica. Just let it go. It'll happen. It'll manifest itself.
Shouting love at me.